If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. So last night I was sitting in the young people's evening social meeting and, you know, listening to Brother Tony and Brother John and Brother Chuck as they outlined the week ahead. And they brought up a question along the lines that they've asked before and that I've answered to myself before, but the question was, coming to Grove City, what are your expectations? What are you looking for out of this week? When I was yay high, younger, I would come here with the expectation of ice cream with every meal, see friends, and then go to the children's Bible studies and classes in that order. As I grew, I came to look forward more to the discussions and Bible studies. Now in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 1, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except for a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside.' And so she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said, 'There is not another.' Then the oil stopped flowing. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, 'Go, sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest.'" She had a deep problem. Someone had died. She was in debt. The collector was coming. She couldn't take care of it. She came to the man of God because she had faith. She had an expectation. Here is someone who knows how to help me. She came to him and he gave his advice. He said, "With what you have, God can do the work." If she had gone out and gotten half a dozen vessels, those vessels would have been filled. She might have been able to pay off her debt. Might not have been able to live off of the rest, because what else would there have been? But she went out and she borrowed all the vessels she could find. She trusted God. She trusted God not only to provide what she needed, but more than what she needed. She filled those vessels, but she wasn't one filling, she was the one pouring. God was the one filling. After all those vessels were filled, that's when the oil stopped. She didn't run out early. She didn't have empty vessels laying around that weren't filled. So this week, I'm expecting to be filled. Not just what God wants for me, but more than what God wants, more than what I want from God. He's going to do more to encourage me than what I could feebly imagine. So I'll close with a verse from Ephesians chapter 3. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And I can't say any more than that.
Good afternoon. The challenge that was raised before us in the announcement that Brother Chuck have made: what is the purpose of coming to Grove City? And apparently it was a searching matter that, as we have heard from our brother, it touches his heart. When Brother Alfred was praying about examples of those in weakness, in condition that is less desirable, have sought the Lord, and he came and he helped them. The purpose of this conference, as many have been praying, is that as through the studying of the Word of God, that Christ will be made precious to us, and that which is given to us in him will also be made precious. I would like to read small portions from a very obscure account in the Word of God that the Spirit of God delighted to pin it to us in two books. Actually, in one of the books, it is mentioned three times. It's a very fascinating and interesting account that many of us, young and old, might be related to. Without further ado, turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers. And chapter 27. The book of Numbers, chapter 27. I want you please to pay close attention to what we will be speaking about. And one trust that the Spirit of God will speak to us through his word. Chapter 27 of the book of Numbers. Then came the daughter of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Milhah, Noah, and Huldah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And he stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes of all of the congregation, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin, and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family, because he has no sons? Give unto us, therefore, a position among the brethren of our father." And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "The daughter of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a position in the inheritance among their brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass on unto them." Chapter 36 of the same book, the book of Numbers, and chapter 36. Verse 1. And the fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, the families of the son of Joseph, came near and spake unto Moses before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, "The Lord commanded my Lord to give a land of inheritance by lot to the children of Israel, and my Lord commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. And if they married to any of the sons of the other tribe of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our father, and whereunto they receive it, so it shall be taken away from the lot of our inheritance." Verse 5, And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph has said well. This is the thing that the Lord hath commanded concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best only. In the family of the tribe of their father they shall marry. Verse 11, for Milhah, Tirzah, and Hulgah, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's son. And they were married into the families of the son of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. So far, the word of God. I might read another verse or two. But let's ask together the Lord to give us help. It was wonderful to sit in a holy hush and to hear the prayer of the saints. Let's just seek further help from the Lord. Lord Jesus, we are very conscious of the greatness of thy word, of the solemn responsibility to speak as the oracle of God. We seek help from above. Open our hearts. Open our understanding. Touch our conscience, Lord Jesus, to the end that as a result of hearing thy word, we might be built up on our most holy faith. We seek enablement and help from thee as we are together this afternoon. Amen. 5 young ladies have set their hearts and their desire on the inheritance. That hymn that we sang, 282, spoke about our position, our inheritance, what we were given in Christ Jesus. Is it so precious? The psalmist have said, thou art my portion. Christ was his portion. Christ is our inheritance. And with him, we were given everything. How precious, how dear is that to us? For Abraham, he was giving the inheritance first, and then at 100 years old, he was given the heir. You and I were given the heir first, the Lord Jesus, and with him, we were giving the inheritance. I want you to think of the condition that these 5 young ladies, and I'm trusting that by the end of the few minutes that I will be up here, that the youngest one would remember their names. Because the Spirit of God finds it so precious that he pins their name 3 times in the book of Numbers and 1 time in the book of Joshua. Their names, the 5 names. So I would trust that by the end, we would memorize their names. What they were looking for? They were looking for position. They were looking for the land. They have heard Moses speaking about the land. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know it was a very good land. A land that flows with milk and honey. A land that full of plenty of God's blessing to his people. And why are the people of God today are poor? Maybe we have lost sight of the inheritance. Well, you might say, but the condition is really bad. Let me tell you about the condition of the book of Numbers. You see these 5 young ladies? No father, no husband, and almost no inheritance. This is very bleak. Nothing, but not only that. They are living in the book of Numbers. I'm sure many of you, like me, when you read that book, you wish that it stopped at chapter 10. Everything was good until chapter 10. And man, from chapter 10 on, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Complaining about food, complaining about water, complaining about God's order and priesthood, complaining about Moses, complaining about each other, complaining and murmuring against God. Do you want to be around people like that? Have you been around people like that? Nothing good enough. Nothing good enough. Meetings? Oh. Reading your Bible? Put me to sleep. Sitting in a ministry meeting this afternoon, and I'm watching,
What happened? Murmuring and complaining. I want you to look at, you could get a report on your iPhone of how much time your screen time was. You spend time looking at probably things that have not profited you professionally, morally, or spiritually. Not these five young ladies. In spite of that condition, the inheritance was so important to them. In spite of everybody else complaining, they were weaker vessels. They were weaker vessels. We have no sons. We have no father. It reminds me of Ruth. It reminds me of Hannah. What they have seen is the God, the Lord of hosts, Hannah could say concerning him. First person that declared God as the God of hosts in her prayer. Also, she took a hold of him in spite of her barren condition. She didn't look at the circumstances. She looked at God's promises in spite of everything. And so are these five young ladies. They were much exercised. They know their condition. That's number one. They know God's provision. That's number two. And if we know our condition and come in that humble attitude, no heritage, no family name, father died, not with his sins, but he died. We are toward the end of the wilderness journey, but we want, that's our condition. But God's promises, God's provision is the inheritance. And we wanted to have inheritance. When they came to Moses, actually Moses didn't know how to answer them. He was taken back. He went to the Lord. And I love that verse. He said in verse 7, the daughter of Zelophehad spake right. They speak right. Young ladies, young brethren, all of us, they speak right. Why did they speak right? Because their heart and their soul desire was what God had for them and nothing less. And the Lord made a decree. And he said, they just as equal, and they will have inheritance like everybody else. You see, here it is. It's not a matter how smart you are. I dare to say it's not even a matter of gift. It's a matter of godliness and devotion. Whosoever desire to do the will of God, the Lord Jesus said in John, will understand the doctrine. If there is a desire in our hearts toward divine things, in the time of weakness, in the time of neglect, in the time where things are just complaining and murmuring, and we're giving up. People are giving up on the priesthood of all of the believers. People are giving up on the woman place. People are giving up on Bible readings even. But there was five young ladies. Give us a position among our brethren. And the Lord said, they spoke right. It's interesting that in the influence of these five young sisters. If you go to chapter 36, which I read, it said that, and the chief of the father of the families of the children of Gilead, they came to Moses and they said, hold on one second here. If they were given inheritance and marry somebody from a different tribe, the inheritance will go away. All of a sudden, the exercise, the influence have stirred up the hearts of these saints, the older, the fathers, and said, the inheritance is very important too. You remember the tribe of Manasseh? This is a tribe that wanted to have a position, half of it actually, on the other side of the Jordan. It was these five young ladies that stirred up the whole conscience of the rest of the tribe to say, no. We lose our inheritance. You see, spirituality is contagious, and so is worldliness. Watch your friends. Watch who you hang around with. They will either lift you up or they will drag you down. If you hang around people that complain about the meeting, trust me, it will impact you. If you hang around people that complain about the Word of God, it will impact you. If you hang around people who wanted to pray and to read the Word of God together and to ask questions and to understand it and to take in the inheritance, it will impact you. It impacted the tribe. The fathers came to say to Moses, hey, we got to figure this one out. We don't want to lose our inheritance. These are the people that earlier on told Moses, listen, we're happy to sit on the other side of the Jordan. It's a land of cattle. Life is easy. Life is good. Everything is available. Everything is convenient. Give us that portion. Five young sisters, weaker vessels. Their heart was right, desiring those spiritual things, and went for it. You know how you go for it? In that book, in the Word of God. It's the only thing. You want to know what's your inheritance? I always say, legal documentation are very boring unless you are a lawyer. Nobody want to read a legal documentation, ever. Except if it's a will of inheritance and your name is in it. Trust me, you will get a dictionary to understand every word. Because inheritance are so precious. It's here and it's easy to read. Trust me, if I can read it, you can. And it's all of the resources, all of the blessings are here. They are all and every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They are yours. And if you are going for them in spite of your weaknesses, you will influence others. It's kind of interesting. The tribe of Manasseh, if you read chapter 1, now these are the chapters in the Bible that generally speaking people kind of skip because it has names and it has numbers. And you would think to yourself, okay, and this tribe had 52,000. Well, who cares? God does. And so you should do also. So if you look at chapter 1, and I'm going to give you some homework here, and if you look at chapter 26, that's the first time these five young ladies' name were mentioned, you find numbers of the tribe of Manasseh. So if you go to chapter 26 very quickly, remember I said three times in the book of Numbers, I read to you two. Now I go to chapter 26 and I read the third one, or the first one actually. And that's in verse 33, chapter 26. And Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons, but daughters, and the name of them and their names is mentioned. These are the families of Manasseh, and those were numbered of them 52,700. Remember that number, 52,700. If you go to chapter 1, 34, verse 34, 35, you will find out there that they were 32,000. 52,000. It's good if you have time. Well, you should have time. And you go to these chapters, just write down the numbers and look, compare them and see who got more and who got less. They were 32,000 in the beginning of the journey. Now they are 52,000. That's an increase of 20,000, which, if my math is correct, it's about 39%. How would you like to have your meeting increase by 39%? Not a bad thing. On the other hand, if you look at the tribe of Simeon, this started in chapter 1 with 57,000. If you go to chapter 26, they ended up to be 22,000. 37,000 lost. If you want to know the secret, read chapter 25. One of their chief fathers. Just read chapter 25. I'm not going to say more. Simple desire for the inheritance. Simple desire for the Word of God. For the position of the believer that you were given. Young one in spite of weakness. Older one in spite of weakness. They go for it. And because of that, they influence everybody around them. Let's go to the third time, the fourth time now, that these wonderful young ladies are mentioned, and that's in the book of Joshua. I think chapter 17. Yep. Turn to Joshua chapter 17. I told you three times. In the book of Numbers, 26, 27, 36, and then in Joshua chapter 17. Now, in the book of Numbers, the first time they came to Moses, remember that, They were in the wilderness. When the fathers of the tribe of Manasseh came to Moses, they were in the field of Moab, at the end of the wilderness. When you go to the book of Joshua, we are in the land. In the wilderness, in the field of Moab, in the land. Have anything changed? In the wilderness, give us position. In the field of Moab, we want the position to stay. In us, don't let it go away. They got to the land. You think these young ladies forgot? They came in chapter 17 to Joshua, now Eliezer, and in let me read from verse 3 for the time's sake. Chapter 17 of the book of Joshua. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters. Spirit of God, keep repeating that again. Just to highlight the fact they were daughters. They were weaker vessels. Their condition was not really of the one that to go to warfare and anything. But yet their heart was still on the inheritance, on the position. And he mentioned their name again. Love to mention the names. He's know his sheep by name. Every one of them. Every one of you. You know, sometimes at school, nobody remember you or your name. But the Lord Jesus called you on a first name base. He knows your name. You might feel a little bit awkward at school. You're not the popular kid. Everybody hang around you. You don't have many likes on your Facebook page. You know what's the most important thing? That you have him. That you have his approval. The apostle said, study to show thyself approved of God. So, and what did they do? And in verse 4, chapter 17 of Joshua, and they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among the brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gives them inheritance among the brethren of their father. Man, they didn't forget. That thing was so dear to them that years later they got to the land, they went to Joshua, said, Joshua, remember? Don't forget us now, because we're girls. We want the inheritance. It wasn't their husband that went, by the way. I was surprised about that. It was them. Give us the inheritance. We're not giving up. Give us the inheritance. And look at it. How wonderful it is. And in verse 5, and there fell 10 portions. Underline that in your Bible. 10 portions of to Manasseh, beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, were on the other side of the Jordan. The only tribe I know that has position on each side of the Jordan. Only tribe. Do you know why? Because 5 weaker vessels have appreciation for the inheritance. They cause a blessing to everyone. They got 10 portions on the other side. You know? God is no man's debtor. You go on for divine things, and the Lord will bless you. But the Spirit of God mentioned their names, as I said, number 26, number 27, number 36, and in Joshua 17. And you said to yourself, okay, the daughter of Zelophehad, that's fine. Why do we have to mention the rest of their names? Oh, as I said, the Lord find delight in that. Repeat it over and over and over again. But I told you, I want you to know their names before I end, and I'm going to end in a second. Let's read their names, because there is some beautiful thing. I think their father, if he did anything right, he named them right. He named them right, and they were true to their name. So, what are their names? The first one is Milha. Milha. Okay, we're gonna memorize that. I'm telling you, if I walk in the dining room table or in the hallway, I'm going to ask you for the 5 names. So don't fall asleep. Remember them. The first one is Milha. What does Milha mean? It means unction. 1 John chapter 2, I think around verse 27. He writes to the little children, and he said, we have an unction. The Spirit of God that takes the things of Christ and makes them precious unto us, remind us, link us with the head in heaven, and remind us with every blessing that we have. Unction. Who's the second one? After Milha, there were Noah. Means rest. When the Spirit of God take your eyes off the circumstances of no rest and focus them on Christ, there is rest. Oh, the believer should be. The world is turning upside down, aren't they? I mean, real news or fake news, it doesn't matter. We have good news. The world's turning upside down. But we have peace. We know who's in control. Nothing surprises him. There is rest. And then, the one after that is Hulga. Hulga is a bird. A heavenly character. A heavenly creature. And that's what you and I hear. A bird that seek to go up and to enjoy. What an animal that his face is always looking down could enjoy. And then Milka, queen, kingly, lordly, he loved us, washed our sins in his own blood, and made us kingdom of priests. That's your portion and mine. And then the last one, I like her a lot. I think she was the youngest, Tirzah. Tirzah means delight. Tirzah means delight. Turn with me to the Song of Solomon. Chapter 6. An exercised heart. A heart that is so devoted to the Lord that nothing will stop him. No matter how weak they are, oh, they are delight to the heart of the Lord. Go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 6. And as he described the one he loved, what does he say in verse 4? Thou art beautiful, O my love, as, I want to hear you, as Tirzah. That is the assessment of the Lord. Of a weaker vessel that have loved the Lord, devoted itself to the Lord. Do you want to today that if the Lord left us here for the rest of the week, you wanted to sit and take in as much as you can, whether it be in the book of Romans, whether it be in the classes where you are, or whatever the Lord will provide for the morning study. Can we come in with the attitude we wanted to know more about inheritance, our position? We want it to be built up. We want to be a good influence. We want it to be the peer pressure that influences everybody, older and younger, to go on for divine thing. The Lord look and see those people that the world might have no value for them. And he said, thou art beautiful, Tirzah. May the Lord bless his word.
Promise I won't speak more than 5-10 minutes at the most. My heart was touched too as our young brother spoke about our expectations as we come to this conference. And then we moved from expectations, brothers and sisters, to that wonderful word influence. And we all here have influence. We all have others who are watching how we act, how we respond. I couldn't help but think of Daniel. Just a couple of verses from the beginning chapter of the book of Daniel. Let me just rehearse that there could not be a man that would be in worse circumstances that you can imagine. Because he was a righteous man, a righteous young man, in the midst of an unfaithful people. But that didn't deter this man, Daniel. He was the subject of a wicked king at this time. His food was changed. His language was changed. His name was changed. He was 1,000 miles away from anyone of his family. But let me tell you about the man Daniel. He was like the man Samuel. He influenced others because of his godliness. He influenced others because he was a man of purpose. We find in this chapter, after Nebuchadnezzar has done all of these things in chapter 1, the very familiar verse. I expect most of us here know it by heart. But Daniel purposed in his heart. May I ask you a searching question? I'll ask myself too. What is the burning purpose of my heart? Why did I come here? What do I expect to gain as I have been at Eastern Bible Conference in 2019? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful thing. In the midst of all of that which is evil, there is a righteous man. And he says, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever I'm doing, the God that I belong to sees me. He knows me. He loves me. He cares for me. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he requested. Isn't that lovely? He didn't demand. He's not a man that says, I have rights and you must in fact bow to what I have. No, he was a man that said, I don't have any rights. I'm actually a bond slave. But I can make a request, and I can commit that request unto the one who is over everything. He requested that he would not have to partake of this. And it says that God granted Daniel favor and mercy. I believe that word is mercy. He granted him favor and mercy with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs, of course, gives his response. Something has happened in the middle of verse 10, though. It's no longer Daniel's face. There's an S. There's three others that Daniel, by God's grace, has influenced in a right way. I wonder, are there others here at this conference that the Lord would use you? Among my younger brothers and sisters, the young singles, those of us that are older, is there someone that the Lord would use you and I to influence the life of another in a right and in a positive way? I think of children, families that are big families, how the little ones look up to the older ones. You see, God uses influence in many ways. I think again of Samuel, grew up in the worst of circumstances, didn't he? And we know the story of the temple and the sons of Eli. But there's a man that we know him from the womb to the time that he's placed into the tomb. And he's a man of purpose. He was a man of influence, and God used him to greatly help his people in that day. This book ends, and I know our time is gone, but I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask a question that I asked in Bluefield last week in the meeting. How big is the God that you serve? How big is the God that you belong to? Does he give meager portions? Is he the one that just wants to hold back from you? I want you, when you go to your room, sometime when you have the chance, finish this chapter. Find at the end of this chapter that when these youths come before this king, I'll read this verse. And verse 19, the king communed with them and among them all. There was none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. Now you listen to this. This is our God. I hope you can say that. This is the one that I serve. This is the one that looks over me. And in matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. What a wonderful thing if it had said twice. You'd say that's amazing by today's standards. That this man is twice. It's not what it says. What if it was five times? You would say, my. He found them 10 times better. This is our God. This is the God that the brother set before us, that can say to the woman in those dire circumstances, I am not limited by anything. You go borrow vessels, find them from everywhere. Close the door, and you begin to pour. I like the remark he made. She didn't pour. The God that she belonged to poured. I trust that this God that we're speaking about, I'm not asking you now if you're saved. I'm asking those of us who are Christians, what are the purposes of my life as I come to this conference in 2019? 10 times better. And Daniel continued. May God bless his word.